And this is the Wednesday morning after. It's 7:15, and we're joined now by Michael Simkin and Aurora Foray, who both are taking part in workshops about theater of the oppressed at Co-op Sejourneru every Friday night. So welcome to studio.
Hello. Good morning.
Thank you for joining us so early, 7 a.m.
It's a pleasure to spend the last day of the world here with you today.
Yeah.
Unless sunset, a sunrise.
What time is it actually supposed to be all over at? Is there a specific time?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Maybe like either 12 noon or midnight?
Cherish every moment.
So I want to get started by asking you to talk a little bit about the theory behind Theater of the Oppressed, for those who maybe it's the first time hearing it.
Sure. So what is Theater of the Oppressed? I like to think that Theater of the Oppressed is literally popular theater. What does that mean? It means it's by the people, it's about the people, it's their stories, and it's for the people. And when I say people, I mean those who are engaged in some kind of social, economic, political struggle, those who are oppressed. And it can be environmental, even if you want to extend it that far. Now, Theater of the Oppressed was really developed in the context of struggle by a Brazilian playwright named Augusto Boal. In the 70s and 80s, there were successive coups in Brazil. And I think, you know, it could be best expressed as a reaction to conventional theater, which he was doing. He was doing in the countryside because they couldn't do it in the cities. There was a lot of censorship. Now, if I could tell a short story about how that came about, I think maybe it'll be a bit clearer. At the time, Boal's company, his troupe, was presenting a play about agrarian reform in Brazil. And this is very relevant, and still is today, in fact. As people were losing their land, it was being literally stolen by landlords. And they presented this play, which is, you know, very indicative of the problem. They would go around in villages, and it would have, you know, more or less different reactions. And at the end, it was always very dramatic as all the actors lined up on the stage and advanced toward the audience saying, we must shed our blood to free the land. We must shed our blood to free the land. And this, you know, in one particular village, a peasant named Virgil was clearly very touched. This was very relevant. Just the previous week, they had had lands taken, were threatened by the landlord. And so after the play, he comes to Boal and says, this is fantastic. You know, you guys rest up, because tomorrow morning, you know, you're going to take your guns, join us, and we are going to shed our blood and free the land. And Boal realized right away, oh boy, this is this is some kind of confusion. We're just actors. These guns are just props. That's not going to work. We're not going to be any help. And Virgil realized, oh, okay, it's my blood. It's our blood that we're supposed to be shedding. It's not your blood. You from the city, you, the actors, the intellectuals, the people that have the education, the white people. So, so I think this is really the first problem, the first violence that is committed against people who are oppressed is to take away their voices. And so the problem with that play was that it wasn't ethical. It was saying, we know what your problem is. We've got a solution for you, and we're not even going to take part in that solution. And Tio is really Theater of the Oppressed. Tio is really a reaction to that.
Super interesting. So now bringing us to present-day Montreal, can you talk about the workshops you're giving at Co-op Sejourneru and how they came about?
So, I you know, the Co-op Sejourneru is an amazing open space where all kinds of activities are taking place, and I've been involved with the co-op for a long time. I was one of the first people to stay there, in fact. And Theater of the Oppressed, for me, felt like it had its place in the current context. I mean, 2012 was a bit of a rock and roll year in Montreal. And I actually asked Julien Boal if he would be interested in coming and giving a workshop himself in the fall. This was after I had seen him recently in Rio at the Rio Plus 20. There was a people summit alongside the UN summit, and I'd seen him. I'd actually invited the Quebec delegates of civil society to meet him, to go to the Center for Theater of the Oppressed, which was created by his father. And so I felt like, you know, if he came back to Montreal, maybe there would be an energy, something that, you know, could be accomplished there. And I think what we did, we brought a lot of activists from different parts of Quebec, different struggles, invited them all to this workshop. And things really took off, and the scenes that we produced were really genuine, and we presented it publicly and got so much feedback. And people like Aurore have stayed on. I mean, I've continued to share the knowledge that I have accumulated over the years with these Friday evening workshops. And people show up at, you know, they start at 7 o'clock on a Friday and they come every week. And I mean, there's what, I mean, 10, 12 people that are regular, yeah. And sometimes there's 18 people. So it's quite amazing to me.
And what were those first scenes that you did about, and also what movements were people originally invited from?
So, the movements that people came from, was a broad diversity of people engaged in either community organizations, the Occupy movement, student associations, some union members, etc. Aurore is with an organization that maybe you could explain.
It's called Voices Why, and we document the undemocratic practices of the Harper government.
So, I mean, really quite broad scope. And it wasn't like people were being, interviewed to participate. Anyone was welcome. The scenes that we created over that workshop were scenes about corruption, certainly very topical. Scenes about the right to assembly, which also was topical. There was a scene about immigration. I mean, and these are just sort of the general themes, but obviously the scenes go into the specifics of the story.
So, Aurora, why did you decide first to go to the workshop?
Well, for me, I first encountered Theater of the Oppressed through books, coming from the sort of academic or intellectual side of it, I think, like a lot of people. And I actually saw that there was a workshop at the co-op through Facebook, and I just decided to show up, and I think that was the first or second workshop at the co-op. And through that, I met Michael and the others, and I learned that they were doing the workshop with Julien Boal. And so I was lucky enough to be able to do it for 3 days. And I think that was really a crucial time to further my interest in that kind of theater and actually doing it and not just reading about it or thinking about it and thinking of how theoretically great it is. And it was really an intense 3 day of discussion and reflection. And it's really a great opportunity to be able to continue to do that every Friday. And the group is really moving forward pretty quickly, actually. I'm always amazed at how quickly we move on certain issues and the kind of really great comments that come out of the analysis that we do together. And
great. And so maybe both of you can answer this question, but can you describe for us who are still kind of having a hard time understanding what it looks like? We'll start by first asking, how does a typical Friday night go? If I'm going to show up on Friday, what should I expect?
So if you come on Friday, what we always do with every workshop, I mean, Theater of the Oppressed is this really large body of games, exercises, techniques, and types of performances. So it really follows the whole spectrum from the creation of a performance to the actual execution of a performance. And what we do in the workshops is very much about creation. So a lot of games, a lot of exercises. And now what we're doing after a couple of months of these workshops is starting to get into actual scripting of scenes. And when I mean scripting of scenes, we're not really writing down text or words, but we're defining characters and situations, the desires and intentions of those characters, and the kinds of conflicts and obstacles they run up against. Mm. So really anyone can come in, because they're still going to learn from the games and exercises, they're still going to have, you know, if the characters are well built, they're going to have thoughts and feelings about what those characters represent in society. So they're going to still be able to, if not participate directly in the scene itself, then be part of the commentary of the scene, which is as important in Theater of the Oppressed.
And give me some examples of the games. Aurora?
Yeah. Well, I can't describe all of them because I think at some point you have to be there physically.
Do you have a favorite one?
Yeah. Well, one that I was thinking about on the way here, I think that pushes the reflection a little bit further. It's not just a fun game. We actually did that on a Saturday afternoon so far with the co-op workshops. We've done two full days on Saturday for like 5 or 6 hours.
Which, people don't get enough Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know.
We're going to start sleepovers.
Yeah. And so one exercise that we did was you had a group of maybe 12 people and everyone was given a tag with a certain job or a certain function in society. So you had a judge, a lawyer, a nurse, a student, an artist, a journalist, you know, so on and so forth. And you couldn't see the tag. It was pinned to your back. And what we did is then everyone started just walking in space and interacting with each other in the way that you would normally react vis-a-vis a lawyer or a judge or an artist, or the way you think society reacts to these people. And so I could see, you know, Michael's tag and interact with him because I saw that he was a nurse. And then he could see my tag, but I had to understand what was my place in society based on those reactions that I had from the people I interacted with. So, and then we all, at the after doing that for a little bit and having a couple of interactions, we had to place ourselves on a spectrum of status in society. And, you know, it's a question that there's a whole lot of complexity to that question. You know, is it the society we want or is it the society we live in? And we had lots of debate on why people were placed in certain points along the spectrum. So I think that's one example of an exercise that really shows what Michael was saying, the importance of the perception of others, and also that exposes a little bit the preconceived ideas we have, or just tries to also analyze what the social structure of our society is. So, I mean, apart from this game, there's lots of fun, creative games too that actually expand your mind a little bit without you realizing necessarily.
I'm sorry. You do Hypnosis Colombiana?
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
It's my favorite.
Okay.
Okay, we have to explain that. Michael, do you want to explain what that is?
Sure. It's where you have people pair off and in groups of two, and then one person's the leader, the other one's the follower, and the leader uses their hand and in a gentle but clear way guides the follower, who is fixated on the center of the hand, through a series of movements. So, you know, it's looking at all kinds of elements of control and power through physicality. And then they switch places, and then you can try in groups of three with one person leading multiple people. You can have one person leading the whole group, et cetera. You can build on each exercise. Now, all of these exercises are about deconstructing the world around us. They're about either deconstructing our perception of the physical world, the world we hear, we see, and sort of working on those senses to see broader, to understand broader, and preparing us for the more advanced exercises and techniques, which get increasingly analytical and critical of the situations that we're concerned with.
So moving from the exercises to putting together the performances and actually enacting the performances, last night we spoke a bit and you mentioned forum and image theater, I believe. Maybe you can talk about what you'll be presenting and how different types of performances take place.
Sure. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, all types of performances, I mean, there's a whole bunch, probably the most commonly understood as forum theater, which I'll describe in a second. But they're all the stories of the participants in these workshops, or they're all the stories of the people. So it's not like some Hollywood writer who comes up with a great idea that's going to really touch people. And, you know, it's real. And it's not that the story is this specific. The actual scene is not the specific story of an individual. It's something that enough people in the group identify with as being relatable that you're able to create a scene together that goes to the broader social issue. We're not dealing with individual issues. We're dealing with issues of oppression, and that's about many people. Now, when I talk about forum theater as being probably the most popular form of theater of the oppressed, it's probably also the most empowering form of theater of the oppressed, because the first key aspect of it is that it's produced ideally, you know, you've given the means of the production to the people who are oppressed themselves. And then the second element is that it changes the balance of power in the performance from the stage to the audience. And how does that happen? So normally in a conventional play or movie or whatever, you have the actors on the stage and they do their thing and they communicate their message. And then you have the audience, which is in the darkness, and they receive that message. And, you know, maybe they can applaud or not at the end, but that's sort of the extent of their participation. In forum, that's completely exploded. You present a play twice. And the first time, again, you're presenting the story that represents an issue common to the group. And the second time, you present it again. And by the way, in that first presentation, the story always ends in failure. The main character doesn't get what they want. They're frustrated. They fail to achieve the emancipation, or whatever you want to call it, that they're seeking. And the second time around, you give the audience a go at it. You say, well, you know, does anyone have any ideas for how the main character could have done things differently? And then they're invited on stage to take a crack at it. And that's forum.
And then image theater? That's another?
Image theater. I mean, image theater is really more about representations using physical body sculptures, no words. There can be sounds. It's more allegorical. Usually what you're trying to do is you take an image of the situation, you represent an image of the situation as you see it currently, the reality, and you try and transform that image into what is the ideal situation, what would be the ideality. And another important type of performance that we're looking at is invisible theater. And invisible theater is very provocative. It's basically, in French, théâtre d'intervention. So you go into a public space and you don't reveal that what you're doing is a play. You present something that is scripted, that is rehearsed, that is a play, but in a public situation where the people there have no idea that it's a play. It's sort of almost like candid camera. And the specific intention is to provoke, is to elicit debate, and to listen. You have to have people not only involved, engaged directly in the action, but also people in the crowd developing the discussion, the debate, and listening to what people are saying in response to what the ordinary people on the street are saying in response to that performance.
Interesting. And Aurora, do you want to talk about some of the scenes that you're creating right now?
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting creative process, because since everyone who's involved comes from, you know, different social and political work or ideas or aspirations, we spent a long time discussing the kind of issues that we wanted to create a show on, and also trying to find which ones are relevant to Montreal, to Quebec right now. So after exploring a bunch of these, we ended up deciding on the broad theme of privatization. And I think there's always a challenge when you talk about very big systemic issues and oppressions on how to represent them on stage. So we've been doing a lot of work trying to find, like Michael was saying, the stories that deal directly or indirectly with privatization. We have two scenes right now. Maybe I'll describe them a little bit. And they're all from stories of, you know, they're an interpretation of the stories of some of the participants. The first one is about the lack of public space. So in Montreal, especially in the winter, there is a lack of public space for, you know, ordinary people. When it's cold outside, you don't, you know, you have the library or you have a mall or you, but most of the time you have to go somewhere and consume in order to be in a public space. And one of the scenes is about two friends who, well, we haven't decided on the exact location, but who go to a cafe and they don't want to, they just want to sit. They just want to rest. It's cold outside. They just want to sit for a couple of minutes. And they don't necessarily want to consume in order to be able to do that. And through that, there's a whole debate that comes out about whether whether there should be more public space, how that relates to, you know, the broader trend of privatization in our economy. And that's a scene that we're hoping to do in Invisible Theater to see if people react to it and if it's relevant to them. And the other scene, which we think is probably really good for forum theater, but that we're also going to try with Invisible Theater, is about someone who has signed a lease on an apartment, but then discovers that the apartment is it has sanitary issues.
It's not livable.
And so the person tries to break that lease and goes to the régie, and there they're being said that they need to pay for an inspector to prove that the apartment is not livable, and then they can break the lease. So there is one inspector, a public one, that performs that public service, but there's only one. And so you see the main character sort of seeking help from other people or just trying to find a solution to break his lease without necessarily having to pay from his pocket for something that probably should be a public service. And so we're hoping to play that in Invisible Theater too, probably in a health clinic as a space where the character tries to get some attention and some help, and see if that's also a relevant question for everyone.
It's always a challenge to find the right place where you're going to be able to credibly present your invisible performance and get reactions and not be, you know, quote unquote discovered. But, you know, I think we should do the first one in Chicoutimi, because apparently I read in the Metro newspaper yesterday that they've put a 17-minute limit on the food court. You have to eat within 17 minutes and then get out or buy more.
Oh, that's precise, 17 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, either of you?
Just that people are welcome to join us on Fridays. Of course, we'll be looking at doing a performance publicly and not invisibly in the new year. I don't know yet what topic it'll be. It might be about the rental issue. We also have another scene that has to do with dental health care and how that's inaccessible. So I think that could be interesting and very relevant to a broad number of people in the province, the country, the world, maybe.
So
stay tuned.
Fridays at 7 p.m. and it's at Coop Sojourneru. Do you have the address? It's Papineau and Mount Royal.
4718 Papineau, I think.
It's like a little side street right by La Tulipe off of Papineau.
Yeah, Généreux is the alley just north of Mount Royal, and it's really the same building as La Tulipe.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Facebook it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you.
So we've been joined in studio by Aurora Fore and Michael Sim Kim, who are both participating and working on a Theater of the Oppressed workshop at Coop Sojourneru every Friday night. And they are talking a lot about some of the history and practice and their specific practice.